everyone. Let us begin this singing. Let's begin this Sunday service with some singing. If you could turn with me to number 30 in the Purple Voices Together, or it will also be up there if that's your preference. And we'll sing Jesus Calls Us. Please stand as you're able. Please stand as you're able and stay with me for 145, Touch the Earth Lightly.
Thank you. Good morning. It's going to be one of those services. I feel it already. let's have a time of call to worship. It's from Psalm 104, number 185 in your book, and we will have slides on the front. I will read one, and you will read people, and we'll all read all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great.
You set the earth on its foundations, so that it shall never be shaken.
You make springs gush forth in the valleys, giving drink to every wild animal.
You cause the grass to grow for the cattle, and plants for people to use.
You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
They all
look
to you to give them their food in due season.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Amen. Welcome to this Sunday morning service at Toronto United Mennonite Church. We are a Christian church in the Anabaptist tradition, and in this place, all are welcome, regardless of age, gender expression, sexual orientation, skin tone, accents, and abilities. My name is Ginny Lepp, and I finally found my name tag, and I am happy that each of you are here this morning. If you are a visitor, please let an usher know by putting up your hand, and you will be invited to share your name. And Sophie has her hand up over here.
Where's Sophie?
Good morning, everybody. I have a lot of people here. So we'll start here. These are my parents, Heidi and John. And then this is my sister and her husband, Corwin. This is my sister, Ella. And my grandparents, Mary and Gary. And this is my fiance, Mason.
Welcome to all of you. We know you've come a long way. I'm guessing all from Winnipeg or? Yep.
We had the chance to be at Sophie's concert yesterday, and it was wonderful. She did a great
Fantastic.
Job. So congratulate her for that, too. Who else?
Are there any people online, Bob, that need to be introduced or would like to be? Nothing? Okay.
Ginny, Cedric here my mother, Faith, or Nana to my kids.
Welcome, Nana Faith.
And I would like to introduce Isaiah Peters, who is living with us for a year, and he came today, so give him a good welcome.
Welcome, Isaiah.
Anyone else?
Glad to see you all. I know the chairs are full, which is fantastic, although this is a bit different too. This morning service has been planned and supported with many gifts. Thanks to our ushers, Jeff and Doreen, and pianist Sandra, who all swapped in at the last minute to take their roles today. Thank you to Bob for tech support and creating slides, Tim for leading singing, DM for helping with the music as well, and for Peter for all things bicycle. There's more on that coming up. Our church meets in the territories of the Haudenosaunee, the Wyandot, the Michisaugeag Indigenous Nations. As a Christian church, we acknowledge that we are beneficiaries of a violent history of colonization, and that we have specific responsibilities to uphold treaty relationships and Indigenous sovereignty. In our work and worship, we seek to be guided by Indigenous truth tellers into a place of restitution, restoration, and reconciliation. I have been asked to remind you that this afternoon, following the service, we welcome you to a potluck lunch downstairs, and whether you remembered to bring something or not, there will be enough for all. This lunch is held to shower our two engaged couples in our congregation with our love and best wishes as they prepare to marry. At the same time, our talented youth will gladly tune up your bike after the meal. So that's another bonus. Cedric is coming forward for an announcement. And if anybody else has a church-related announcement, you can come up as well.
One thing, potluck-related, we do need some people to help clean up after. And so if I could have a couple of hands of people who are willing to help with that, that would be great. Jeff at the back. We need more than Jeff. Dave, thank you. Another couple people. Shannon. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Coming up on May 2nd, so this coming Saturday, I know, Mayday, it's already May. Theater of the Beats will be coming here to perform our new play, Invisible Threads, which I've been writing for the last 7 years. I dreamed up doing something on these themes over 10 years ago. My wife now, Elise, and I, we had one of our first dates after volunteering at Aurora House in the very, very early days of its opening, literally inside painting, getting it ready to be opened. And, you know, in the last decade, I haven't had the skills to be able to volunteer for Aurora House and the skills that they needed, but, you know, using the art skills that I do have, I've been dreaming of ways of creating advocacy around the great work that they do, but also just more generally about this topic. So Invisible Threads is going on a cross-Canada tour, so Winnipeg contingent, watch out, they're coming. So yes, May 2nd at 7 o'clock, right before that at 5:30, there's actually going to be a workshop that all are welcome to attend as well. If you've got clothes that you've been, I've been meaning to mend that, bring it along and we'll all have a little mending party workshop before the performance at 7 o'clock. If you want more details about the show prior or like the show themes, it is 14 plus. You can talk to me about any of the themes. I'm giving you more of my own personal history of the play, I guess. But hope to see you there Saturday, 7 o'clock start. QR code in the lobby for tickets or cash at the door is fine too.
Just really quickly, it's up there, May 9th, church cleanup day. So please put it in your calendars. And yeah, we'll have a great morning, as we always do.
I finally came up with the right theme, I think, for the next issue of Place of Meeting, and it is tending the garden. Seems so appropriate, doesn't it? It's planting season almost. I'm looking forward to it, and I know some of the gardeners out there are probably champing at the bit to get started as well. According to Genesis, God's first command to humanity was to take care of the earth. To tend it. Many of Jesus' parables revolve around nature and the world of agriculture. Have you ever cared for a garden plot, a flower bed, a farm, even potted plants? What are the impulses, the joys and sorrows of tending a garden? What do we learn from tending the garden? And what does tending the garden mean to you in the larger sense of caring for creation? Of keeping intact the great garden of earth that nourishes and brings forth life. Any thoughts you have on this are welcome. If you want to just write a paragraph or you'd like to write a couple of pages, send a photo, a piece of art, a poem, or a recipe. Of course, other kinds of contributions are also welcome, and deadline for contributions this time is May the 10th. So please send yours to Tumpsy Place of Meeting, all one word, Tumpsy Place of Meeting, @gmail.com. Thanks. I'll look forward to seeing what you come up with.
Well, that was more than I had planned. I told you it was going to be one of these mornings. Please take the time to look at the announcements that you receive in the email. And if you would like to have email announcements sent to you, we can do that by sending a request to administrator@tumpsy.ca. Yes. Thank you. We're going to sing our next song now. And as I mentioned about the potluck, there would be enough for all.
There's enough for all. 757, if you're following along at Voices Together, and it's up there too. And well, let's sing this one through two times. Please stand as you're able.
Anybody else hear Brian Suderman's voice when we sing that? Each week, we pray over the offerings that help to support the ministry of our church and our broader church family. Many people make their offerings through a banking system, and we also welcome checks and cash in the box at the back of the meeting place. To learn about setting up an offering, you can contact treasurer@tumsey.ca. As we prepare to pray together in thanks for God's abundance, I want to name the gifts of the land and water. Our city depends on Lake Ontario's watershed for clean water, and we all depend on the ravine systems for fresh air. The trees in the lake do their work quietly, and it would be easy to ignore the life that is in them. But they are creatures of God and deserve our respect. As I acknowledge my gratitude for the land and the waters, I also acknowledge my responsibility to the First Peoples of this area, the Haudenosaunee, Wyandot, and Mississauga Nations. Their relationships to this land is also part of the goodness of creation and God's intention for the world. Christian settlers have often disregarded that, and as a congregation, we have made a commitment toward justice that starts with speaking the truth. Therefore, we pray today in thanks for the good gifts that God has given to us, which we give in turn as an act of worship. God, please give us wisdom and courage to respond well to the call for justice and reconciliation in our time and in this place. Amen. And now Peter's going to take over for a few minutes for the blessing of the bikes.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for bringing your bikes here. And those who didn't bring bikes, thanks for bringing your good intentions into the space. And those online, this is not merely blessing bikes, but praying for all those who make choices about how they live their lives in a way that honors the earth. And the last few years, we've done this around about Earth Day. So the way this will work this week is those of you who have come with a bike or other vehicle will stand up and go and stand by your bike. We will begin singing together, "This Little Bike of Mine." You should know it by now. Those of you in the congregation who didn't bring a bike, as you feel led, you're to come up at the end of this row. Each end there is a plate with these ribbons in it. So take a handful of those and then just go to a bike or a couple of bikes and tie one on to the bike. The person who's holding the bike can help you to do that. And that will be our act of prayer for that person and representing the whole community. So Once we've sung that through a couple of times, I will lead us all in a responsive prayer. Okay, so let's start by going to find our bikes. Join me in prayer, and you can remain standing for this as you're able. God of encompassing care, we give you thanks for the beauty of our world and the intricate, interconnected web of support that you have created. Living God, we thank you that we are part of your creation. As our world suffers from the extraction, transportation, and consumption of fossil fuels, we give thanks for the goodness of human-powered transportation, for the simple, ingenious beauty of the bicycle. Loving God, bless those who build and repair our bikes. We ask your blessing on all of those who ride, athletes, commuters, students and children, eco-warriors, couriers, and all those who take to the streets, bike paths, and parks. Loving God, keep us safe from dangers and safe for others. We give thanks for all of those who cycle, walk, bus, carpool, as a way of caring for your creation. Bless those who choose not to drive, those for whom driving is not an option, and for those who have no choice but to drive. Bless those who rely on bicycles to earn their living. Loving God, bless our efforts to build a world where the transportation needs of all are accommodated. We especially bless children and those learning to ride. Everyone who brought their bike here to honor Earth Day. Keep us smart, safe, and visible on the roads. Spare us from road rage, blind spots, potholes, and car doors. God of life, we ask your protection and your blessing on these bikes and their riders. May these ribbons be a visual reminder of your care for us and for creation. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated.
I don't want to tell you about the last time I got on a bike. It wasn't pretty. There was blood. But I walk sometimes. Today marks the last Sunday that Sophie Reimer Epp will be with us as she successfully concluded her music degree at U of T. Sophie has been a quiet and faithful part of our community these last years. We pray that God will continue to bless her in the next chapter of her life as she returns to Manitoba. Sophie, did you want to say a few words? Could we have a microphone for Sophie, please?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to this community for all the ways that everybody's been here for me the last few years. I've been in and out, and I'm away for the summers, but I've just really been so grateful to have this home base and all of you wonderful people who say hi to me and, you know, chat with me on Sundays. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you to all of you.
Bless you, Sophie, in this transition. Let's enter into a time of congregational prayer by turning in your Voices Together book to the prayer number 996 toward the back. It won't be on the screen. Listening God, you hear our prayers before we speak, yet welcome our praying. Therefore, we come with confidence to lay our requests before you. We pray for Christians everywhere, for our denomination and congregation, for strength to persevere in faithfulness. We pray for the whole people of God.
God of grace, hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the world, for all leaders, and for those who make policy decisions. We pray for the well-being of our global community.
God of grace, hear our prayer.
We pray for the earth and all living creatures, for regions and species at risk, and for the sharing of resources. We pray for the wholeness of creation.
God of grace, hear our prayer.
We pray for those who are overcome by violence, for victims of injustice or oppression, and for those in poverty or pain. We pray for all who need healing and peace.
God of grace, hear our prayer.
We pray for those who endure trials, for those who are dying, and for those who mourn. We pray for all in need of comfort and hope.
God of grace, hear our prayer.
You have heard the prayers of your people, O God. We rest within the comfort of your care as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite children to come forward now. Some active ones coming. I'm glad you sound so happy to be here. I'm just setting up some of the people for our story, and they might fall down, but we'll just can pretend they're standing. Okay. This is a story from the book of John, from the Bible, about a time that was after Jesus had died on the cross and then rose again. And we know that Jesus came back to talk to his disciples about a few things that were important lessons. So one time, it was a time after that, several of the disciples had been fishermen, before Jesus called them to follow him. And they didn't quite know what to do with themselves after Jesus wasn't there for them to spend full time following him. So they went back, and they were hungry, so they went out and they went fishing. And it was nighttime, and they threw their nets over the side of the boat, We have to pretend this is a boat. They threw their nets over the boat, and they were fishing, and they didn't catch any fish. And you know how long they spent out there? They were there all night, and there were no fish in their nets. Their nets were empty. No fish. And it was just getting to be morning. It was dawn. The sun was starting to come up. And Jesus was on the beach, on the shore. And he called out to the people in the boat and said, "Why don't you throw your nets on the other side of the boat?" They don't want to stand up in there. Okay. So they heard this person calling. They didn't realize who it was. And they heard the person calling. And so, you know, they didn't have anything to lose. So they put their nets on the other side of the boat. And then they tried to haul it up. And it was so full. It was so heavy. There were 153 fish in that net. Whoa. 153. And then Peter, one of the disciples in the boat, he saw that it was Jesus on the lakeshore. And the boat wasn't very far from the shore. So he got out of the boat and he walked to the shore to see Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm pretty sure they hugged each other. And Jesus said, "You know, bring all those fish in." And Jesus had a little fire, a breakfast on the boat, on the shore. Had a fire. He was grilling some fish and had some bread. And he said, "Bring the rest of your fish in and we'll grill some more of them so that we all have enough to eat, so that there's enough for all." So the other disciples came in from the water and they had some grilled fish and some breakfast. Now, that's where our Bible story pretty much ends for today. But I have a question, because I wonder. And when Doreen tells stories, she always has some great wondering questions. So I wonder how they could have their net in the water all night and not catch any fish. I wonder if there were no fish there. I wonder how Jesus knew if they put their nets on the other side, they would catch a lot of fish. Yeah. Yeah. Then jump into the net. When Jesus tells them, then the fish knew that they should go. I don't know about the computer program. Some people would call this a miracle. Some people would say something that Jesus said or did helped the fishermen to fill their nets so full they could hardly carry them. My other big wondering about this question is, how come it's listed in the Bible that they caught 153 fish? Like, a lot of fish is a lot of fish. Do we need to know exactly the number? That's my question. I wonder that, and I don't know if anybody's got any answers to that. But what I do know is that by listening to Jesus again, like they did for many years as they followed him, and doing what he said, something pretty wonderful happened. And they were convinced that they wanted to follow Jesus. So we're going to sing a song. I'm going to tell you the words, and you can repeat after me, and then we'll sing it. And the second time through that we sing it, Paul is going to come up and lead you down to activity period, okay? So the song is called "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." The song goes, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Can you repeat?
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided
And again, I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
And I think we say that again, no turning back. Right. So it's pretty easy. There's two lines. One we sing three times, one we sing twice. So we're going to sing it through. And I invite the congregation to help us learn this song. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Hello everyone, I'm Ben. I'm going to read John 21, 1 to 14. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter Thomas, named Didymus, Nathanael from Cana, in Galilee, Jesus' sons and two other disciples were together. Jesus Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. They said, Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered to him, "No." He said, "Cast your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they did, and there were so many fish that they couldn't haul in the net. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them, yet the net hadn't torn. Even with so many fish, Jesus asked to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Good morning. My name is Christina Reimer. I am one of the pastors here at Tumsi. This morning we heard a miraculous story about fishing. Fishing is often about stories, isn't it? How many fish you caught, what strangers you met while fishing who might have shared best techniques or locations, what kind of weather you experienced, what mishaps took place, the best camera angle to make your fish look bigger than it is, and what kind of great conversations you had while waiting for a nibble at the end of your line. I want to tell you a story of a fishing miracle that lives on in Reimer family lore. I was not present, but my brothers Thomas and Micah were. This sounds like disciples, right? I contacted them both to make sure I got it right. Throughout their childhood, our dad took Thomas and Micah on annual fishing trips, a tradition that continues today even after our dad has died. Now my brothers are joined by my husband Mike, my brother-in-law James, and for his first time this summer, our son Christoph will go along. They will leave on our dad's birthday. One year, Dad, Thomas, and Micah went to Black Lake in the Halliburton area. The boys were little and still learning to fish, and they both talk about how bad the bugs were. In his excitement, the youngest, Micah, cast his rod too enthusiastically, and the rod went flying into the water. There was much disappointment, so Dad gave Micah his rod to use for the day. They continued to fish patiently without one of the rods, and eventually they caught something. They reeled it in and discovered that they had caught a fish. Then they discovered that they had also caught the rod they had lost. And then they discovered that the rod they had lost had a fish on the end of its line. Confirmed by many sources. In the Gospel of John, we hear about the disciples struggling to catch fish. They are fishermen by trade, and they go out at night, supposedly an optimal time because, as one biblical scholar suggests, the fish can't spot the nets as well in the dark. Despite their best efforts and lots of waiting, they don't catch anything. In the morning, Jesus appears to them on the shore for the third time after the resurrection. And again, the disciples don't recognize him until he speaks. It seems he is known by the nature of his words, not his physical appearance. Jesus tells the disciples to throw their nets on the other side of the boat, and sure enough, they catch 153 fish. Quite the haul. Jesus' advice is that they switch up their approach and it works. Did this miracle of abundant fish happen because Jesus had some kind of control over nature? Or were the fish already on the other side of the boat and he simply taught the disciples to change their perspective and their technique? It's interesting how the disciples have to fail first before they learn a different way. They need to try things out in order to grow. Even seasoned fisher people will tell you they never stop learning new things. I'm reminded of Tim Schmucker's recent sermon when he encouraged us to keep trying again and again, even when we don't get it right the first, second, or third time. A profound resurrection message. I am not a skilled fisher person, but it seems to me that fishing requires a lot of patience. But maybe the patience of the disciples in this story is precisely their problem. They keep waiting and trying the same thing, and it doesn't work. Their patience gets them stuck. They need a new plan, and they are quick to shift when Jesus tells them to. This week, I had the pleasure of interviewing a number of fisher people about what fishing means to them, including Willem and Matthias Unger Alexander, two of the finest fishermen I know. Matthias said something interesting about patience. In his words, quote, "Most people think that fishing is all about patience, but it's really not. If you haven't had a bite in 10 minutes or so, you are either in the wrong spot or using the wrong bait," end quote. Willem also said, quote, "I don't stay patient. If they don't bite, I get in the canoe and fish somewhere else," end quote. Both Willem and Matthias remarked on how they love the excitement and action of fishing. Willem especially enjoys, quote, "the moment when after a good fight, the fish gives up and becomes dinner," end quote. I love the dinner part too, Willem. I also spoke with DM about her love for fishing. She doesn't fish for sport, but to catch something good to eat. She has some great recipes for fish if you're interested. DM reminisced about bonding with her adoptive dad while fishing, fishings with cousins in PEI, fishing with a close friend, with a friend close to Lion's Head, and fishing off the docks close to her place here in Toronto. She also echoed Willem and Matthias' words that one needs to move on if one isn't having any luck. She talked about fishing as an act of hope, hope that what you are doing will have good results. But what struck me most was when she talked about experiencing moments of zen and connection while fishing. How her body connects to her hand to the rod to the line to the water, and the water to the fish. I interpreted this interconnection between the self, the technology of the rod, and the natural world as a sort of attunement or oneness with creation. My youngest brother, Micah, grew up to be an excellent fisherman and thinks of fishing as a form of therapy. He is a community mental health worker for Communitas Supportive Care Society in Abbotsford, British Columbia, where their motto is ensuring abundance for people of all abilities. Micah has taken his clients with serious mental health struggles on fishing trips. He told me about one client who could never sit still and suffered from auditory hallucinations, hearing intrusive, distressing voices. Micah said that this client finds it very hard to experience peace. When he and Micah went fishing, he talked about having a rare moment of stillness from involuntary movement and silence from negative thoughts. Micah also shared some science-based evidence that when we fish or spend time in nature, we experience a serotonin boost, a brain chemical that regulates our mood. When there is a social element to fishing, we get the added release of oxytocin, which enhances bonding and trust. Oxytocin, nicknamed the love hormone, is also the hormone that is released when people give birth and when mothers nurse their babies, bonding them together. It appears that fishing provides an abundance of blessings. It answers a need for nutritional sustenance. It teaches discipline and technique. It provides connection with creation. It promotes social bonding and builds community. It heals, and it makes for great stories. Stories of fishing bookend the Jesus and disciple encounters. In John 21, we hear about the last of Jesus' resurrection appearances to the disciples when they are fishing. And when Jesus first meets a group of his future disciples, they are fishing. In Matthew 4, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. These future disciples see something divine in Jesus. They just drop their nets, leave their livelihood, and follow him. Why does Jesus choose these fishermen to be his disciples? To spread the good news and become fishers of people? Based on the things we have heard about fishing from Willem and Matthias, DM, and my brother Micah, a few qualities of discipleship come to mind. Hardworking, adventurous, goal-oriented, but also present in the moment. Trusting and hoping that their work will lead to good things. Flexible enough to change course and adapt to different conditions. Faithful to their cause, drawn to teamwork and social bonding, focused on wellness and healing, and connected to creation. And what about the fish themselves? What is our relationship to them? We must protect their habitats and honor them with gratitude for sustaining us. While the disciples received an abundance of fish, today we are tasked with not taking more than our share, and for fighting for clean waters, for people, and our more than human community members. The water we all share is sacred. It feeds us and cleans us and brings us delight when we swim or paddle a canoe. Some of our planet's holy water has been desecrated. There are fishing-reliant communities in our own resource-rich country that can't drink their water, let alone eat their mercury-infected fish. We acknowledge this reality and pray for God's guidance in how we can repair this perversion of God's creation plan. Jesus promises us to be living water, nourishment for our bodies and spirits, the source of eternal life. Living water in the Old Testament also refers to fresh flowing water from springs or streams, as opposed to stagnant water in cisterns. In Jeremiah, God is described as a spring of living water. We are baptized and reborn in this living water. I'd like to conclude by telling you one more miraculous fish story. Well, technically, it's about a mammal that looks like a fish. I didn't want to get called out on that later. I was about 5 months pregnant with Christoph, and I had started to feel him swimming inside of me like a little fish in safe, warm waters. I could still travel, so Mike and I went to Florida to relax on the beach. I love to swim, and when you're pregnant, swimming makes you feel like you are weightless. It is heavenly. I waded into the ocean, and when my belly hit the water, I saw something racing towards me. I froze in fear. As it got closer, I realized that it was a dolphin. It swam right up to me and then turned around and splashed me playfully with its tail and swam away. In that moment, I felt like God had blessed my growing child. To finish this sermon, let's pray together. God, you are our living water. You burst through the dry cracks of the rock. Your waves part as we cross to safety. You are not stagnant water, but teach us to pivot and flow around obstacles in our path. You anoint us, purify us, and transform us into fishers of people as you have fished for us. We are nourished within your creation, and we are connected to you as the hand is to the rod is to the line is to the water, and the water is to the fish. Give us the humility not to seek dominion over creation, but to stand in relation to all living things as created wholly by you. Let us not take more than our share, but find abundance in just enough. Amen.
Thank you. Let us respond with, Lord, you have come to the lakeshore, 283 in Voices Together. If you're following along in the hymn book, we'll sing verse 1 in Spanish and verses 1 and 2 in English afterwards. Yeah? Please stand as you're able and remain standing for the benediction.
Pray with me. Go forth in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the God who fills the hungry with good things fill us with Christ-like love and with a consuming hunger for justice in our land and in our world. Amen.
you guys hear me? Okay. I just asked them to mute. Let me text the father and see if I can move it.